This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kutter, and with me, Brian Fernandez. It's time for Pressing Matters, a show that goes behind the headlines of the day. Now, football has emerged as a bargaining chip in the political competition between Barisan Nasional and Pakatan Harapan. We've had the Pakatan Harapan Youth Wing proposal for free showings of the English Premier League if Pakatan takes the federal government at G14. And to add to this, the tussle between the Pakatan-run government of Selangor and the Football Association of Selangor, and because Barisan Nasional has weighed in on that recently. To help us understand what's happening on the sporting and political pitch is Harish Jail. He's a veteran sports journalist. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you very much, Sharad.
He's very unhappy that I said veteran. But okay, now in your blog, your recent blog posting, harishjail.blogspot.my, you have a headline, read Selangor Football Association, and this is debacle. You say, politics and egos bigger than football. Now, for us who don't follow local football or any football at all, Harish, what is this story telling us? Maybe you could begin by telling us what's happened in this contest between the state government and the Football Association of Selangor.
It'd be too long for me to digest, to explain the whole thing in just half an hour. But I think bottom line is just that Azmin Ali, the Selangor Menteri Besar, was once upon a time the Selangor FA president. And during his reign, his vice president was Datuk Seri Subahan Kamal. As we know, Subahan Kamal was the former state assemblyman for Taman Templar and UMNO man, who is now claims that he's a businessman, and that's about it. And bottom line, when two members of the opposing parties sit on a table, they just can't seem to agree on anything.
Okay, so the consequence of this, Harish.
Bottom line, it's all about that.
Oh, it's okay. So it's a Game of Thrones situation. Yep. That's why you can't do this in 10 minutes. You need several seasons, right? Now to get through this saga.
The blog posting says it all, so
Okay. And it's a very good blog post. It gives you a rundown on who the main characters are. You know, Jon Snow is in there, and then, you know, you have the White Walkers and all that. But we have the Red Giants.
Yeah.
And in this mix is the basic thing is that they're not allowed to play at a stadium which they have traditionally used, and that's hurting them, apparently, their fan base. And Barisan Nasional's come in to say, not just local Barisan Nasional leaders, but the Prime Minister himself has come in to say, if we win back Selangor, we'll give you the stadium to use. He's talking, of course, to the Red Giants and their fans.
There's also a context, isn't it, Harish, about the fact that when Azmin quit, the Selangor FA did not receive any further funding from the state government.
Yep.
Is that correct? So,
is this tit for tat? So he leaves the Football Association and then he denies them funding and tells them he can't use the stadium. Is it as petty as that?
Yes, it is. It's as simple as that. And bottom line, Azmin Ali has got every reason to not give Selangor Football the money.
Why is that?
Why is that? Because why are we still living in this? It's 2018, for crying out loud. And teams are still relying on state funds. State funds should be better used on repairing potholes. I mean, we've seen so many people dying, you know, hitting potholes.
But surely, now, I've read numbers of 23 million of funding from the state government in 2016. Is that correct?
Correct. In 2016, Azmin Ali actually, his government actually gave Selangor FA 23 million. Now, Shahri Sugib had recently demanded to know where the 23 or how the 23 million was used by Selangor FA. But my question is to Azmin, why on earth do you give a football team 23 million? And the reason I say this, and I've been saying this for a long, long time, is because if you give football 23 million, what about the other sports?
Now, okay, so we'll come back to the question of privatization of sports because it's a complex issue, and I believe the Football Association of Malaysia has a game plan for privatizing football. But before we get to that, let's look at some of the reasons for the fallout. Mm-hmm. Now, Selangor Executive Councillor for Sports Development, Amiruddin Shari, said that the crux of the matter, the real reason that sparked the breakup of these two sides is that the FA FAS did not show loyalty and respect to the Sultanate of Selangor when it boycotted and refused to release some players to join the Selangor Sultan Cup in 2017. Now, what do you make of that explanation?
It's more of, like we say in Malay, a tarik tali competition. You know, Amiruddin will have his, you know, reasoning of why they are avoiding to subsidise and to allow Selangor to play at the Shah Alam Stadium. The Selangor FA claims that, you know, they have done everything in order, and with what, with regards to what you said earlier, this Sultan of Selangor Cup, as far as FA of Selangor is concerned, they have already answered those questions on their website, saying that they did not boycott. You know, it's just that no one got back to them with regards to, because the organisation of the Sultan of Selangor Cup is done by a different team altogether. And we must not forget that the Sultan of Selangor is the patron of the Football Association, and he is very, 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 very into football. So he knows what's going on in FAS, and I'm pretty sure he's not pleased at all, but he doesn't want to simply interfere. In fact, his son, the Raja Muda, has said a few things about Selangor football in the past. I think that is a clear indication of how unhappy the palace is with regards to the current situation.
What about the sacking of the coach? And that was also brought up in the media reports that suggests that the Menteri Besar and his associates did not consult with the FAS before sacking the coach, and that this is also a source of the bad blood between the two.
Yeah, you see, these claims have started, they emerged immediately after when things started becoming ugly between the two parties. They claim that, the coach was just asked to leave, you know, and it was just posted on Facebook, on a Facebook posting.
Is that true?
Yeah, I mean, it was there. I mean, I remember when we spoke to Zainal Abidin Hassan in the past, and he said that he was not given ample notice. I mean, that's not on, you know. So
what's going on there? I mean, is this just bad governance issues, bad management, or is it vindictiveness? What's your sense?
For me, it's very simple. We can carry on, you know, speculating about this, but it's only fair and it's only right for the parties involved, which is Azmin and company, and also Subahan and gang, to actually inform the masses of, and especially the fans, of what actually transpired. Be transparent, you know, show the minutes of the meetings, show the agendas of the meetings, because that also has been an issue. Because they wanted, certain parties wanted the removal of the Secretary General and the Treasurer, which is Rosman Ibrahim and Dato' Sivasundaram, respectively.
But Harish, have there been any attempts to mediate this difficult solution?
Well, Subahan had recently said that he wants to meet the number one guy of the state government, which is Azmin. Now, for me, it's very simple. If both parties truly have football in mind, Azmin will actually meet to sort this out. And if Subahan believes that, you know, him being there is a hindrance to the team, then he should do the rightful thing of quitting. For me, as far as I'm concerned, you know, that football comes first, not the personalities.
Well, clearly that's not demonstrated, at least in your analysis, that it's the egos of politicians that are getting in the way of the best interests of football.
That's the way, it's not only me who see it that way, it's a lot of us, even the fans, see it that way.
And that's what we'll come back to next, looking at the fans who've also mobilised. They've got a petition going. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more. BFM 89.9. Good morning, if you just joined us. This is the Pressing Matters show, where we get behind the headlines. Some of the headline news include the politicization of sports. We've been talking about the debacle in the state of Selangor between the office of the Menteri Besar and his government and the Football Association of Selangor. Well, Brian, we were talking about fans and how they feel.
Yeah, so the Selangor Supporters Action Group spokesman, so Muhammad Fedawas Abdul Muttalib, said that, and I quote him, "What we see is that political parties are taking advantage of the situation. If they really want help, they should just do it and not make promises. We appreciate the help, but not when people try to play political football at our expense." So, you know, he's strong words there from him. And he then launched a signature campaign, collected 15,000 signatures for their supporters in Selangor for the right for the Selangor to use the stadium.
Well, what he said was spot on.
And so the question is, do they have any influence on the stakeholders? You outlined them earlier for us, Harish. You're saying the both sides, and you see very clearly Azmin Ali should speak freely to all the stakeholders, and the other side, if they're a hindrance, they should resign. You made it very plain. Is something like a petition going to change the dynamics that we have now?
I doubt it, but I also believe that politicians will try to milk the situation as much as possible, but fans are not stupid. The past government had, at the last election, promised a new stadium. Well, they won, not because of the promise, but we're still waiting for the new stadium.
Okay, so political parties love to make promises, especially in the run-up to a general election. Yeah. And we already see it with regard to this issue.
Yeah.
The FAS and the team, the Red Giants, the Selangor team, mm-hmm. will be able to use the stadium that they traditionally use, blah, blah, blah. What I don't understand is, when I'm reading the stories, Harish, is that the team now uses another stadium, but in the state of Selangor. So it's obviously they're not locked out of stadiums at all.
They are using the Cheras Stadium, the KL Stadium in Cheras.
Oh, I see.
That's in KL.
And what's
the City Hall. Yes, there is another stadium in Selayang, but it's not suitable for night matches because of the floodlights. The floodlights do not meet the requirements of the competition.
Why, are they blinding, are they?
No, they're not bright enough to blind you.
But Harish, how does this impact the team financially? Because obviously Shah Alam Stadium is a very large stadium, huge capacity.
Yep.
And Cheras Stadium is a much smaller capacity stadium.
For me, it's only in Malaysia where you get fixated over building stadiums with 80,000, 100,000 capacity. You know, elsewhere in the world, Stadium Cheras is just the perfect size.
And what sort of capacity is that?
That's about 18,000, if I'm not mistaken, because they've done some renovation to that stadium. But coming back to the stadium, the location of the stadium, look, just revisit the previous matches where Selangor played at home, and how many fans actually come to the stadium. You know, and now
not many,
and now matches are played at 9 at night. I mean, which parent would allow their child to go and watch a match at 9 at night? You know, and by the time the match ends, it's about 11, 11:30, and you know, by the time you come back, I mean, although it's on a Saturday, but still.
Well, fans are listening in. We have Nuraka Jiwa. He says, Lion juga ulasan Harish Deo mengenai FAS Selangor versus state government kat BFM Radio. So there are people, if you're a member of Ultras Malaya or Ultras Malaya Selangor branch, Ultras Selangor, tell us what you think about this debacle, where this all should go. Now, what's really interesting is the claims that people are making about fans and how they will vote. So this is the added dimension to the story. FAS Vice President Abdul Rauf Ahmad said, I'm quoting here, that we who are in Football Association, as much as possible, want to be neutral. But if our fans want to vote for Barisan Nasional over this issue and want to change the government, it is their right. Is it very clear that football fans are a voting bloc and that they can be steered one way or the other on this single issue?
Sharad, I repeat myself, football fans are not stupid.
But then again, so Harish, if you going by your...
Look, it's 2018 scenario. For crying out loud, wake up.
But then obviously people are making these claims thinking that makes sense.
That's why, so they're not, they're still sleeping.
So they're delusional then, yeah, that's what you're saying.
Very much.
So where do we go with the story? Now, do you think anyone can intercede in this? Could it be the Football Association of Malaysia? So the kind of, as were, I guess, the parent body, isn't it?
Sharad, the only way forward, Sharad, Brian, the only way forward is for teams to stop relying on the state government. The problem that we are seeing today, not only in Selangor, but in all the other states as well, and this has opened the Pandora box, because we will be seeing this in other states as well. Yeah, and the only reason is because they are over-reliant, with the exception of Johor, which has its own stadium, and also Felda.
And also Johor gets a lot of third-party sponsorships on large property developers and so forth in Johor.
Look, they've got a good leader who has that ability to pull in sponsors. It's as simple as that. But for the other teams, I've said this many, many years ago, and I'll say it today again. If you can't afford a Ferrari, just buy a Saga.
Okay, so you're talking about the cost of running a football team.
Yes, yeah. So if you can't afford, you know, big names, you know, sort yourself out, sort your finances out.
But aren't big names about drawing fans to
the
stadium?
Do they?
Okay.
I would like to see, because let's say, for example, Selangor this season bought two Indonesians for a really, 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 you know, I mean, the numbers that I was told is I'm quite shocked by it. And I would like to see at the end of the season if they actually manage to draw in the numbers.
So where would football teams make their money? Is it at the box office? Is that what you call it?
There are many ways. Once again, I repeat myself, it's 2018. There are many ways to make money, not just via tickets, merchandising, you know, going down to the ground, selling stuff.
Doing events,
you know, converting the whole match day into a carnival-like atmosphere. Why should football be just that 90 minutes of football?
So basically what you're saying is Malaysian football is stuck commercially in a time warp from 20 years ago.
2020 is being nice.
You know, one of the criticisms that the Menteri Besar Selangor makes is that there's excessive politics and there's an old-fashioned way of doing things and an over-dependency on subsidies. And that's I'm quoting him directly.
Yeah.
So do you think he's fair when he says, and one of the reasons he gave for leaving the FAS?
Look, I don't know if that's, I mean, the reason, but what he said there and what I wrote in my blog is I can't argue with him there because it's very true.
Now,
and it's not just a dilemma faced by FAS. It's a dilemma faced by almost every state association, and not just football, in other sports as well.
Is there a timeline
for...
There's
this fixation for people to just hog positions.
Right,
you know,
okay.
At one time we had a particular president hogging like seven different associations.
One person.
Yeah.
One person. Okay, so let's make reference to the Football Association of Malaysia's a strategic plan for privatization. Is this year, 2018, the year that everybody's going full privatization? Is that the... Was that the plan?
This plan of going privatized.
Yeah.
Sorry. Too much of Yisang. It's been there for a long time. The problem is within the state association. Now, the state government always wants to have a stake in the team because of mainly political reasons. You control the state football team, you control the voters.
That's what they believe.
So they believe. You know, it's a good way, you know, when let's say, for example, the team does well, put the MB in front, you know, yes, he has done for Selangor or for whatever team, you know. We are not pinpointing just Selangor alone. We are talking in general. You see, so you need a different... You just need to break out of that whole politics and just have an independent person running the team. And yeah, everyone be happy because it's sports. Sports is supposed to unite. But here we are seeing people fighting because of sports. It's wrong, and the fans are being bullied to a certain extent. I mean, it's like you develop this. Do you know that this whole squabble, which is far from prolonged, if you ask me, will create a generation of younger... you will lose out on those fans. Those younger fans will get tired of this episode and they will just ditch Selangor and start supporting other teams. And what do you do then? Because the younger generation will be your future loyalists.
Is there a team in the Federation of Malaysia that is run in a professional manner, that is maybe demonstrating some of the best practices when it comes to issues of privatization or managing your funds or, you know, getting your priorities straight? Do you see anything, any team in the Federation of that sort?
Right now, JDT is the best example that we can have.
Johor Darul Takzim.
Correct.
Where both Brian and I are from, by the way. So, I don't know what state you're from.
I'm from Perak.
Oh, from Perak. Okay. How is Perak doing then?
Yeah, Perak is good. Perak will always be good. Kerja yuk kerja.
But Harish, so here's the thing. You've got a model.
Yeah.
They've worked. They've done well not only at a Malaysian level, but they've gone on to an ASEAN and Asian level and they've done well.
Look,
so, what's stopping the others from successfully following that model?
It's very simple for the others to just use the excuse that, oh, JDT, kaya, banyak duit. You know, that's the very simplistic excuse. But look, you have to start from somewhere. So start now. But the problem is that no one wants to start now because everyone wants to leave a legacy. Because everyone wants to be the hero during their reign in power. So they want to ensure that during their time in power, and it's the same with ministers as well when it comes to policies. A new minister comes in and their previous policy is forgotten. It's the same with football as well. It's the same with every other thing. So yeah, that's the problem. There's no continuity.
Well, if you want to continue keeping up with the saga of the Selangor state government versus the Football Association Selangor, you can always follow Harish on his blog. It's Harish Deol, that's deol.blogspot.my. It'll keep you updated. Very, very interesting. Game of Thrones in Malaysia. Thank you so much, Harish, for being with us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, that's the end for Pressing Matters. And in fact, the morning run's coming to an end. We're coming up to the top of the hour with the news. We'll be back with Enterprise and Frida Liu. I'm Shoaib Curtin with Brian Fernandez. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.